Hey everybody, time for another edition of Inside Line Athletics. Happy New Year! We'll get to have our first one after a couple of weeks break. We're going to start off with women's basketball because they were the first ones to get a win after the start of the year. Valerie King team goes down to New Orleans while the guys were in Thibodaux. That first half looked like they were a little bit still on the bus, but boy, you used the right locker room speech at halftime. Tell us a little bit about that win. Congratulations on it too.
A really good win for our kids after, coming back from Christmas and having, the 3 games in 6 days there. It was a long week for us. Our kids were, tired as everybody in the league would be after, a schedule that we've played. So, great win for us. I think the first half was us just trying to find our rhythm offensively, and being able to knock down some open shots. We finally started doing that in the third quarter there. Changed some stuff up on the defensive end, went big, put Alva in. So we were playing with Alva and Tiani. So that helped us getting some more better clean rebounds and quicker outlets. And just being able to play in transition a little bit more helped us.
Tell you what, just looking at the box score, you can see that where Alva's impact was. None of the other bench players, he had 7, 8, and 2 minutes on the rest of them in there. Alva, you just gave her a minute or two to catch her breath, get a drink, and get right back out there.
Yeah, I mean, Alva's been great. She was a starter, has been in the starting lineup. Kind of changed some stuff up a few games ago, but she's a kid that is just gonna do whatever you need her to do, whatever you ask her to do. Played really good minutes defensively and rebounding for us. And knowing what we want from her on the offensive end, so kudos to her. She stepped up big for us when we needed it.
Both teams did not especially shoot the ball well in the first half. New Orleans was struggling a bit even at home. 14 to 11, UNO at the end of the first. You were up by one at the half. But coach, that 30 to 18, it looks like they just didn't have an answer for Alva and a taller lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we, you
Not
know,
right
yeah,
away, anyway.
right, that's correct. I mean, we knew what we wanted and what we wanted to get out of it, when we went big. And it, obviously went in our favor. I think they called a timeout there with about 3.5 minutes left in the third quarter. It's something that we've got to learn and get better at is, we go on this big run and we take a sizable lead, but we've got to keep our foot on the pedal. I think they went on a 5-0 run right after the timeout. We were able to stretch it back again, but just a few learning moments for our kids to, don't take a play off and continue to do what we do.
I have a Nina Horvath amongst your team leaders. Fact, well, she was the scoring leader in this game, 24, but Tiani Ellison right behind her with 23. How nice is it to see two players getting hot like that?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Nina and she got I think 3 quick layups in the first half just on some back cut stuff, which started opening up the outside. And then she was able to knock down some shots there in the second half. But I mean, we've known this. I mean, she's a super capable scorer. She can make shots. She's slimy when she driving it in there. She's long and lanky and can finish a lot of those shots. So. She's been really good for us. Played really good minutes. I think she played over 30 minutes on Saturday. So, but yeah, really good. Really happy for her. T was a force inside again. I feel like when we can get the inside out going and have 2 or 3 people doing that, it's just going to help us become a better team.
Coach, do you remember what the rebounding was in the first half? I just have the full box. With that move to Alva and as many boards as she pulled, it looks like she put y'all ahead in that category as well.
Yeah, I mean we were right there with them rebounding. I think it was just getting a clean rebound and being able to get out quick. We did a good job when we were small rebounding. Overall, I would say, I mean, obviously it's got to be a little bit better, but Alva and T, it was just T was able to get it clean, or Alva was able to get it clean instead of us tipping it around and then somebody having to run to get it. I think those are difference makers for us. A clean, quick rebound, a quick outlet, and then we can go. So I think that's what changed the course of the game for us.
What about defense, coach? Did you do tweak anything in the second half, or did you just let the rebounding really take over the game?
Yeah, we didn't change much defensively. I mean, I think we stuck to our game plan that we had going in. I think the and for us, I think it's something we talk about. The rebounding is a huge factor for us, and for any team. So that was the difference maker for us in the second half, was obviously rebounding.
Okay. 14 turnovers is 14 more than any coach ever wants to see out of their team. But, 14 to 13 in that, it was kind of a close battle. And that's a number that I think I remember you saying you can live with sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a few too many there, especially at the end of the game. I think we turned it over 3 times when, end of game stuff and just trying to get open against their full court press. So, I not obviously not happy with all of those. We had some that were, I think we just didn't take care of the ball that well. That's something our kids have to learn. Like, those are opportunities that are taken away from us. That we don't get a shot up, or we don't get a foul on them. And in turn, we typically foul, or they typically score. So,
Okay. Well, you get out of town, you go in for one, you get out quick with a dub. That bus trip home, even though you got in late, probably wasn't a bad one.
yeah, I mean, it's never bad when you win, so you can deal with the bus trip.
All right, so what's up next? We've got two at home before I think we spend most of the rest of January away from our barn, but
Yeah.
A&M Corpus Christi on Thursday. And then the first game of the doubleheader against UTRGV on Saturday.
Yep. We got back in here. I've been prepping for Corpus and RGV since we've been back. Corpus is somebody, you can't look at their record. They've got really good individual pieces that, their guards can score. They've got a big kid inside that they can throw it to. They rebound really well. We're going to have to do a couple different things defensively to change where they want to get the ball, so that we can try to keep it out of the post hands, slow their guards down a little bit. And that's a couple of things we've been talking about the past few days, is stepping up and guarding our man one-on-one a little bit better, trying to stay out of rotation so much. Tomorrow will test us and to see if we've taken a step forward with that.
All right, very good. Coach, we're about out of time, but before you go, we haven't done this since before Christmas. How was the holiday and the holiday travel for you? Y'all had to get those little girls up there to see the grandparents.
It was good. It was quick, but it's always good to go home. So it was
All right.
cold. I'd rather be here.
Okay, well, it's warmed up a little bit. God, it was cold before we left. I don't know what to pack anymore.
I
All right, let's get Lions up, folks. Valerie King, head coach of your Lion women. They're now 6-6 overall, back to 500. See if they can get over the hump this week with games. Thursday, it'll be A&M Corpus Christi, and that is a 2:30 start. You just love having the school kids there for the early game, don't you?
Yeah,
Are
I
they going to
think we
be any
did
good?
this for the football game, though.
Oh, okay. Coach, thanks a lot. We'll see you in the MRS in just a couple of days.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Some more Inside Lion Athletics for you. Charlie Chitwood here. We move from women's basketball over to the men's side. That was a long bus ride back after that one Monday night, Coach. And but you got them home before sunup.
Yeah, it was a long trip for everybody, so we're glad to be back home and, get a couple home games here.
Coleman First is joining us today in the place of Jarrett Von Rosenberg, who got a little bit of something, the Yetahoos. He's trying to keep healthy. He's been getting himself ready to go again. Do you think he's going to be back in time for Saturday?
Yeah, we talked to him. He wasn't feeling well, so he went to the doctor, and he's getting back right, and so we're planning on him being at practice tomorrow.
All right, very good. Well, it couldn't have been the food. We know that much. Not down in New Orleans. Hey, man, talk about the game a little bit. I think that was your third with the big whistle in a ball game. 9 years there on Rose's staff, and you've had to fill in before.
Yeah, I mean, it was, obviously, that road swing didn't go quite the way we wanted to. And we talked about it, after the game. But we got to be ready to go when that ball's tipped. I mean, we got to start games better. I thought both games, Nichols, both games we're putting ourselves in a hole to start, and then having to fight and dig our way out of it, to make it a game there, in the second half. So,
Battled back, were able to get the game within three, I think, on two trips down the floor, and then they just started hitting buckets again after that run by your guys. Well,
So, it is what it is. We're at the point now we dropped four in a row. And so, it's one of those things where, kind of all your ambitions and goals going into this thing and thinking it's going to be a perfect season. And, now reality's here. And so, we got to come together as a team. And it's nice to be back at home and get some rest and kind of get some guys healthy. But everything moving forward, it's about us, and we're glad to be back home to get this thing going.
well, if they needed a challenge, they certainly have one ahead, because after this week's pair of games at home, then you're out on the road for a couple of weeks straight.
Yeah, exactly. And there's never a night off in this league. So
No.
I we're you got UTRGV and Corpus coming in here, two really, really good teams. And then it doesn't get easier from there. And so, right now we're really focused on us. It's about us, every day in practice, getting better.
So after six games and a record, not, nobody wants it where it is, but these guys have to remember this season is far from over. And if they can't rally and get help elsewhere to finish in first, they still can get to the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, and you have to keep that in mind. I mean, I remember, it was a couple years back when Lutz was over at Corpus. I mean, they lost five games in a row in February, and then ended up making a run in March and making it to the NCAA tournament. And so we've got to keep that in mind, and it is what it is. We dropped four. It's a reality check, and I think it could be used, to our benefit here moving forward. Just how we approach practice every day and understanding how what it takes to win, actually win basketball games in this league.
Okay, very good. Hey, tell us, it's not often that the assistant has to step in, but what's it like? I mean, do you have to remember that, oh, I gotta answer now, or I'm the one that calls the timeouts, or how does that work mechanically?
Oh, I think you realize when you do have to step in there that, all the work's already been done. Everything that we've been doing since June 4th, working as a team to, everything that we're going to do offensively and defensively has already been put in. And so, not much different for the players, and that's something that we talked about going into this game. Nothing really changes for them, just a different voice, and everybody slides a couple seats down from the assistant's point of view. But Rose has built this thing into something that operates, that runs itself. And so luckily we've got a great group of guys. There's some leadership in that locker room. And so, that's what you got to have, when you're in a situation where your head coach can't make it.
All right, talk about the two upcoming games, if you would. UTRGV will be first up. They've got a little length to them.
Yeah. And they shoot a lot of threes. They play really, really hard. It's going to be back to Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I mean, it's more about us than anything. I mean, we have got to get back. We have got to be ready to go when the game starts. And we've got to be ready, when we do get stops to finish possessions with rebounds. And same thing with Corpus. I mean, we know that they're going to have tremendous ball pressure. They're a very physical team. So more or less, same story there. And we just got to be ready to go when the ball tips and be ready for the physicality.
Coach, we've seen the last few teams. It's beginning to appear it's part of their game plan to get on the Lions in the backcourt.
And it's I don't see that changing. I'm assuming, UTRGV, we're expecting, pressure from them. Corpus has always been known to be a high pressure team, and really physical with your guards in the backcourt. So we've got to be ready for it, and we've got to take care of the ball, and starting out from the Nichols game on this last road sweep, that's what really put us in a hole, not taking care of the ball in the backcourt. And so we got to go into this thing and be the more aggressive team and take care of the ball and put them on their heels to start the game when teams do decide to press us.
Coach, when y'all went back and watched the film from the game in New Orleans, do you start seeing ways to break that pressure a little more easily, or and really not the coaches, but the players? Can they start recognizing it the more they see it?
Yeah, absolutely. And they did a much better job. This is we've seen a press in almost every game, and they did a great job handling it this last go around. I think we only had one turnover versus the press against UNO, and so these guys are they're in good shape. They're understanding that we're going to see pressure throughout these games, and we've just got to attack it and be aggressive.
All right, very good. So going into Saturday, knock on wood, everybody's healthy and good to go.
Yes, sir. Yep. We're a little banged up. 4 games in 7 days, but we got a couple days off here, and let these guys rest a little bit. And we've got Ronnie back, and Coach Rose will be back. So we're planning on being full go going into this home stretch.
All right, man. Well, we sure appreciate you filling in today for us, and we'll line up here and let you get out of it because there's work to be done.
Yes, sir. Go
Coleman
Lions.
First, the associate head coach for East Texas A&M men's basketball. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
All right. Thanks, Charlie.
All right, man. We'll be back. Hey, bud, everybody, welcome back. Time for a little more Inside Lion Athletics. Hey, we've got three guests this week. That's it. But we're saving the best for last, right? Gentleman Jim Curry, all the way up to Nashville, and you didn't even get to see the football game, but there was other business to be tended to in the host city for the FCS Natty. And that's what we're playing for in 26.
That's what we're going for. I'll tell you, it's a great time for FCS football. You've kind of seen this playoff, take off, and the viewership numbers right now are just incredible. I mean, that semifinal game that was on ABC did a 2.8 million viewership and was matched up on the same day as an NFL game and a CFP game as well. So, I think it says a lot about where FCS football is going. Obviously it's an important driver for us here, but again, then on top of it, have an exceptional game in the championship game that drew a lot of notoriety. And I think you see the quality and the passion that really defines FCS football. And I think the more people get an opportunity to get exposure to it and consume it, I think the more they gravitate towards it. So, again, an exciting time. The playoffs in total, again, you mentioned Nashville. I was up there for an FCS forum, mostly ADs, but we had folks from ESPN, the NCAA president, just a lot of conversation going on Sunday before the game on Monday. And, I mean, ESPN, the folks there told us we're up 13%. In viewership year over for the championship as a whole. I think for them right now, they were pretty explicit that they see FCS football and women's volleyball as being drivers for them right now in terms of viewership interest. And so that's obviously presents new opportunities for us as well. And so just continue to lean into that.
All right, very good. Anybody, any talk about the portal or any changes to that? Nobody talks about the
No, nobody's
portal,
talking about the
do
port. What? The what? What are you talking about?
they?
Like,
What's a portal?
man, I'm telling you, it's real. So first year of the 15-day window.
Right.
So opened on the 2nd, closes on the 16th. I do think that there is some, because there's only one window this year. Last year there was another window late spring. You're seeing that have an impact on the numbers that are going in. There, I mean, I he, just talking to my counterparts, seeing what's happening here. There's definitely an impact on that. I'll say this: I think there's some guys that also are getting a lot of bad info. I mean, and one of the things that the NCAA president told us when we were at that forum is that they looked at some of the data, in the last year. He said 55% of the FCS scholarship players that went into the portal last year ended up having no scholarship on the other side of that. So talk about just a heck of a gamble. And the numbers are even higher this year in total for numbers in the portal. But our numbers are up slightly. I wouldn't say that they're alarming or concerning in any ways. But we're over 20 guys that are in the portal. At the same time, too, we've signed over 20 guys between JUCO and Portal. People are excited about the opportunity here. That's the one thing I was kind of joking, but not really. With Cabinet, earlier in the week, I said, we got 105 guys on the roster. 105 guys go in the portal, and next year we're gonna have 105 guys on the roster. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. So there's no lack of interest in opportunities to participate here, but it's very active right now. I mean, the number of visits that we've had in the last 2 weeks has been just incredible. It's again, it's we're, we feel really good about where it's going, but it's still active. And so, but it portal's been a lot of conversation. You've heard a lot of conversation about the calendar. That's a fair conversation to have as well. That's some work that we'll work on as part of the FCS Oversight Committee. FBS Oversight Committee as well is working on that. We've got some in-person meetings in February where we'll reconvene, but that'll certainly be front of mind as we get into that. And again, I think we all knew with the portal this year that as just an industry, that change different in terms of timing, one window, the timing of it. Is it perfect? No, I think we all knew it probably wasn't going to be, but let's give it a shot, see what works well, what doesn't work well. At the end of the day, the whole goal was to try to walk out of the transfer portal period and at least have a little bit of certainty, or at least more known in terms of what the roster composition looked like. And I do think that that will happen. It's just a matter of what that looks like on the other side is probably for everybody still to be determined.
So just to clarify, if anybody kind of wonders like I do, the portal period is just when the players go into the portal. They
That's right.
can be signed out of the portal until they get an offer. I mean, right?
That's correct.
They
Yeah. So
don't
that's a
the
really important point that you just made, and you're right. It's these 15 days where you go in. You don't have to make a determination. You don't have to land somewhere in the next 15 days. You just have to, if you're going to go in, you have to make that declaration now. So there will be guys that go into the portal who don't have a home for the spring, but maybe get picked up in the late spring to come in summer.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll definitely happen. I think you're also going to see a lot of guys, and this already happened last year, but I think you'll see it some more this year as well, as guys who go in the portal maybe look around shop and realize, well, maybe the grass isn't so isn't as green
That's
somewhere
spray
else. Maybe
paint
it might be
over
somewhere else. Yeah.
there.
So I think we'll see some of that everywhere, maybe even for us as well.
Well, I just lost it, but it was portal. Oh, it was some of the word that and the discussions you had with your peers on the committee, the impact of that big skyfall we had of talent into the portal last year because of the roster restrictions. Is anybody getting a feel for what the kind of rebound year after that's going to be like? Do they guess maybe smaller numbers in the portal?
No, there's certainly not smaller numbers in the portal.
Oh, wow.
And I do think that is that I mean, just My thoughts on that is I do think it's a byproduct of having one window, where if you have even a shred of like maybe uncertainty or doubt or desire to get in, then you probably need to go in now because you don't have another window in the spring. Whereas before, you had your December window, and then you had another window that was in late spring, late April, early May, something like that, after spring ball, basically. And so, that with that second window, things can shake out a little bit. You can go through a spring, you can figure out, injury, things like that. You can figure out who they signed and brought in, what happened in the December period, and then make it another assessment. That's not an opportunity now. And so if you're even going to think about it, you got to get in now. And I do think that that is having an impact, just increasing numbers overall, because again, if you don't get in now, you're not going to have an opportunity later. But that's by design in terms of the way that the window was set up to happen now at the early part of January, is so that we do get to the end of spring ball and we don't see rosters, get depleted, which did, I mean, I wouldn't say they got depleted, but there was definitely key players that came off of rosters in the late spring window that teams were counting on to go into next fall and didn't recruit, to replace or fill in that roster spot, and then had a late departure that puts you in a heck of a bind.
Now, is it just the football portal right now, or is it all sports?
Football portal right now, every sport has a different window, and so right now football is the only one that actually has one, although multiple other sports are discussing and will take a vote on just bringing it down to one window as well, like football. So you did have a window that just closed recently for like volleyball and women's soccer, the fall sports basically. And then there's also a mid-year, a fall window for spring sports, if you want to, make a mid-year change in there. So you don't see a ton of that, but it does happen from time to time.
Have you, and talking about other sports in the portal, have you ever even heard of a school getting a new coach and that new coach bringing basically her whole team with her to the new program? And that couldn't happen without the portal.
No question. And that's, I mean, you're really starting to see that kind of be an element of the hiring process. I talked to somebody at the forum in Nashville who went through a head coaching search in football already this year. And, I said, hey, what were you kind of looking at in this whole thing? And they were like, yeah, we were looking for somebody that could actually bring players with them. And that's not the first time I've heard that, but I kind of asked the question to validate if that was part of the thought process for that individual. And it was. And again, so we've seen it happen, not just in football, but in many different sports. We've seen it happen in the league, already here. So in women's hoops. So that, I think that is an element of coach hiring in the future. Do I think that there's an upside or a downside to it? No, because if you can coach, you can coach, right? And if you're a great opportunity and great opportunities to play, but I understand why people would bake it into the calculus.
That's going to be interesting. Keep following up with that. All right. NCAA convention, you've got that coming up soon.
Yeah, next week, DC, going up to convention. Be there just for a couple days, a pretty small business session, but another good opportunity just to connect with peers and talk through industry issues, challenges, things that are going on. So a couple folks I've already connected with to connect with at other schools that I'll see up there. So excited to get up there, see those folks, but it'll be a rather quick turn. The business session for Division One is really kind of become about 2 days, so it moves pretty quick.
Do you think that there's going to be any conversation this time around? It's going to be coming up. It has to, about a collective bargaining agreement for student athletes.
Yeah, that's, that really hasn't been something that again, kind of maybe going back to the conversation we had at the FCS forum, I wouldn't say that collective bargaining is front of mind for the institutions. I think we all recognize it's part of the broader conversation. But, you know, I think right now it's really trying to find some ways to get some certainty into the rulemaking authority for institutions and the NSA as a whole, which again is a membership driven organization, of course. Right. And then from there, you know, what does this look like with all the litigation challenges? So you've got litigation challenges. You know, there was the SCORE Act, which had gotten to the floor for a potential vote, or gotten out of committee for a potential vote on the House floor in D.C. That still hasn't materialized yet. So, you know, that's one thing that the President Baker talked about at the FCS forum is that, you know, we kind of had a good window there in the summer to maybe get something done there, which kind of had kind of some basic tenets to the legislation. One is, you know, federal preemption over all these various state laws in the NIL space, talking about the employment components and trying to preclude student athletes from being designated as employees, and then codifying some of this rulemaking authority, some limited reduction in liability exposure and protection for schools. So it's got a lot of tenets to it that certainly helps schools, but, you know, codifies into law a lot of the student athlete protections, both from a health and well-being, a student development, and from an academics perspective. So is it a perfect piece of legislation? No. Is it a good start? I think in terms of advancing the conversation and giving the space and institutions the ability to be able to govern this space without threat of continuous litigation and lawsuit. Yes. So it'll be interesting to see where that conversation goes. I would tell you that, you know, you mentioned collective bargaining, but I would say that really it's trying to figure out that legislative piece that can then mitigate litigation threat. But at the same time too, you know, you start to see all these eligibility rules that are going through the courts. The one thing that probably doesn't get as much attention as it should is that the NSA has been pretty successful in defending the eligibility rules in court lately. Their hit rate's about 75% in terms of success. There's some cases out there right now that could potentially, you know, if they don't go the way of the NSA, make it all the way up to maybe the Supreme Court. But, you know, what's under attack is this kind of 5-year rule idea, you know, 4 years to play five. It's all tethered into the kind of the degree completion calendar, you know, and given, you know, kind of frame boxing it in that framework there. So that seems to have some support generally in terms of just, you know, having a potentially an academic pro-competitive benefit analysis there. But that's for courts to decide. The challenge right now is that it only takes one court decision to potentially upend everything, where the 99% of the other courts could rule in favor of your rulemaking. So that's how, you know, that's how, you know, vulnerable the rules that the NSA makes right now are to scrutiny and a particular litigation threat. So trying to find a better environment to be able to make rules that you can then provide more consistency on, I think is a desired outcome overall in this entire endeavor.
Wow. All right. That's very interesting. All I keep thinking is what my pop would say. They're just getting you into trouble that only lawyers can get you out of. Okay. And he was a lawyer. So
there you go. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, conferences released some schedules, including the 2026 Lion football schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got two schedules out this week. Right? We got football out on Tuesday, and then we got softball out on Wednesday.
Okay.
So excited about that. The football schedule, we just put out the conference schedule. We know what we've got going in the other two spots, and for those that have probably paid attention or listened at home, we'll give you a little inside baseball here, but you know, we've got the return game with Prairie View coming back this year. And then we've got a game against Mercer to start the year. So working through some opportunities for television in the latter game. So we kind of held off on a little bit of some of that information going out, but for anybody that's listening at home, we'll give you a little bit of the inside scoop here on Inside Lion Athletics. We're excited about that. We have five home games. We'd love to get into a position where we start to kind of get to six. So that's a little
Right.
bit of the strategy and some of the future scheduling. But I think one of the things that people will really start to see in this year's schedule, compared to previous schedules, is now we'll play every conference opponent.
Right.
Not done that since we've gone in the league. So we're now all nine. And then in addition to that, we're down just to one guarantee game, back to one guarantee game this year, which is at Tulsa. So we played two Power Fours this past year. That was a lot to bite off. There's no doubt about it. Did give us some great earned media, though, for the University Athletics program, undeniable. But excited to maybe kind of throttle down a little bit. Tulsa's done a great job. I got a new head coach last year who's done a nice job. So excited about that. But it's one that our fans can travel to drive. So excited about that opportunity. We'll only be home once in the first 5 weeks. So that's a little bit of a bummer. Just kind of the way that the conference schedule kind of shook out. But we'll be home on the 12th there against on September 12th against Northwestern State. So we'll have some opportunities after that. But again, five home games. We'd like to get to six if we can in the future as we start to look and build out future schedules.
Good deal. Hey, it'll be nice to play Nichols again. We kind of forgot they had a football team because
Yeah,
we haven't
right?
seen them in
Exactly.
so long.
I kind of have a running joke right now with the Lamar AD because he's like, apparently we only play you guys at in Commerce. And I'm like, well, we can keep that going if you want. So we've had a couple good games
Thanks
over the
for
last couple of
asking.
years. Yeah.
All
So then
right, man.
that's good.
Oh.
We're excited about that. So once we get the full schedule released with all the details, kick times, we'll get tickets on sale as well. But you could certainly get in early if you want. Just give our folks a call. But we are really excited about what the schedule looks like for next year,
Yeah,
for
get the
sure.
art department out there with a paintbrush and get that schedule posted on the side of the
There
stadium.
we go. Let's get it going.
Hey, how's
Softball came out. Softball.
softball?
Yep.
That's
34
y'all,
home
they're
games.
playing games, aren't they?
They're playing a lot of games. And, the month of February, if you see the staff kind of walking around a little glassy-eyed, you'll understand why. Because we got three doubleheader Saturdays in basketball in February. And then in addition to that, three softball tournaments in the month of February, where in some cases as many as six games in a day, when
Wow.
we're also hosting basketball. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild around here for the month of February. But, again, talking about what we're trying to do in terms of driving economic activity into commerce, bringing folks here, there's no doubt that we're delivering in that regard for through softball for sure. But the month of February will be pretty chaotic around here for sure, but it's good thing. Activity is a good thing, but it'll be we've got a lot of work to get ready for that. But we're excited about what we got going there. Schedules, we got a game down at Texas this year on the women's side. I think there's seven teams that were in the tournament last year that we'll see throughout the course of the full season. So a lot of home games though, so great opportunity to come out and watch some good softball.
All right. Outstanding stuff. Jim, what else is on your plate this week?
We got home basketball again. Excited about getting the women are going to go at 2:30 tomorrow on Thursday. We're going to go early that day because of just conflicts with our normal tip time against the CFP semifinal game. Kind of
Okay.
want to stay away from that. Our students aren't here, back, they're not back just yet. So we felt like it would at least be an opportunity to go a little earlier still. Even though obviously we'd love to go in the evening time, but it just didn't make sense with the conflict with the CFP game. Doubleheader Saturday, RGV, and then the men back here on Monday for Corpus. So excited about that. We obviously picked up a really good women's win during the break against SFA. That makes now we've beaten four of the defending champs from last year when we go include the fall. So we beat all three AQs from the fall. Across all three sports, beat the women's champ. See if we can get maybe the men's champ later in February. But exciting about that. I mean, that was a really good win. It was a heck of a ball game too against SFA to get that W.
It
And actually, it
was.
was the first time I ever met Len Bishop in person too. We've talked over the phone a few times. Obviously, a ET guy, but I didn't want to spend any, too much time with him after the game because I knew he was a little bummed out. But it was.
Oh, sure.
Nice to meet him for the first time. He's always been a good conversation, and and a nice guy to talk to. So,
Yep, he's super dude. All right. Well, Jim, happy New Year. Gosh,
yeah,
it was.
Happy New Year. Yeah, we'll get some more info out here soon about how we did in the fall, but another really good semester in the classroom for our athletes. We've got about 300 student athletes right now. That GPA for the spring for the fall was a 3.15 term GPA. I think
Nice.
nine teams had a 3.25 or better. So, again, continuing to make that a priority in terms of what we're doing and advance our student athletes towards degree.
Very good. That's what they're there for.
Heck yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's line up here and
All
let
right.
you get back to work. Thanks for your time. Good to see you even through the screen.
Likewise.
It won't be long. We'll see you in just a couple of days.
Hey, four games in the next, what, 5 days? So let's make it happen.
I thought that's what it's always like.
It is what it's always
All
like. All
right, my friend.
right, we'll
Well,
catch you.
thanks for tuning in to another edition of this. We're into 2026 already. Let's go to the finish, see what happens. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week.